Hi, everybody. This is Marlene with Erie News, and today is March 27, 2024, Wednesday, March 27, 2024. And our first story is out of Stranger Than Fiction Stories, and it's titled An Unlucky Place, An Unlucky Name. A family outing became the most unexpected moment when an otherworldly being made its presence known. Over 10 years ago, Kim Davidson and Jesse Liu took their children to Murphy's Hole, a swimming spot at Lockyer Creek in Queensland, Australia. An unknown photographer took a picture of the group, and it captured an uninvited participant, according to Davidson. It's a fourth child that was invisible until that moment. She posted the strange photograph on Facebook, which was picked up by the Toowoomba Ghost Chasers. It came to light that in 1915, 13-year-old Doreen O'Sullivan had drowned at that very spot. Davidson said her daughter felt twice where her leg had been grabbed, and she herself felt something behind her as she walked out of the pool. If that wasn't strange enough, 4 years later, a girl with the exact name and approximate age also drowned. In other words, not at that point, but 4 years after this girl died in 1915, another girl died in 1919 with the exact same name. This Doreen went by the name of Goo, and she died at the Spit Baths in Mossman when she was 12 years old. First, her clothing was found at the baths, and then a girl fitting her description, wearing a bathing costume, was seen buying some cakes, and she left a shop without taking her change. The next day, the police dragged the pool and found her body. Her father, Daniel, who had just returned from the trenches of World War I, was so devastated by her loss he forbade anyone in the family to speak about her. In another eerie coincidence in 1884, two children, age 1 and 4, drowned at Lockyer Creek. Their names were Jane and W.A. Schroeder. It seems they fell down a steep embankment into the creek. So even before that first Doreen drowned, apparently there was and had claimed other lives. And it wasn't only the young who met their death at Lockyer Creek. In 1888, Englishman John Sewell, 29, a state school teacher, also drowned there. What was it about this place that claimed the unsuspecting? And that's that. This was a very short story because I found it very interesting that same location, two girls, as a matter of fact, 4 years apart with the same name, but both come to an end. But apparently there's something about this place. I don't know if it's just the way it's set up that it's just if you're not watching where you're going, you end up dead. All right. And then this next story is also out of Stranger Than Fiction Stories. And it's titled Eugene's Secret. Beware the insane, because they might have lost their mind, but not the capacity to deceive. Let's go back to Grand Forks, North Dakota, February of 1904. Eugene Butler came to North Dakota in 1880 from Middleport, New York, where his brother still lived. However, they did not get along. A sister who was adjudged insane had died several years before. He lived by himself on a farm at Shawnee and was quite wealthy by the measure of the day. His 400-acre property was estimated to be worth close to $40,000. This would be the equivalent of over $1 million present day. He also held a mortgage on an adjoining piece of land. Eugene might have been eccentric, but he wasn't stupid. However, years would pass before the townspeople would understand just how duplicitous he truly was. It all started in a nonsensical way. Eugene Butler was 56 years old when he started to brood over hallucinations that all the old maids and widows had set their caps on him and wanted to bring him to the altar since it was a leap year. He also claimed that men would come to his home during the night and force him to get up, dress, and take long walks and horseback rides, which he did by screaming at the top of his voice. Neighbors said he was seen riding his horse at night at breakneck speed. Before this, he was known by his neighbors as being a recluse and a miser. However, due to his behavior deteriorating, he was committed to the insane hospital at Jamestown. His house was sparsely furnished, and he was known to carry all his effects in his pockets. The custodian of the court found he had $3,000, including cash, certificates of deposit, checks, and wheat receipts. Eugene was crazy, but not poor. 6 months later, alienists at the asylum were of the opinion that there was little chance of recovery for Eugene Butler. He was described as a man of short stature, who was gallant and attended the hospital dances. He fell desperately in love with one of the lady physicians. During his time there, he had only occasional bouts of believing that they were after him. He complained that his enemies had followed him to the asylum. His doctor found that he had a mortal fear of Kodak cameras, believing they could end his life if his photograph was taken. However, outside of this, he was never violent. He died on October 26, 1911, from phlebitis at the age of 62. There was nothing unusual in this event, and his body was shipped to St. Stephen's Cemetery in Middleport, New York, for burial. The only notoriety attached to Eugene Butler at the time of death was a squabble amongst his relatives, who each wanted a piece of his estate. It was noted that an unnamed sister had died in an insane asylum years before, and his brother Oscar Butler had died at the state hospital in Buffalo 3 months before Eugene did. The inference was unmistakable, which was that Eugene's family had a deep streak of insanity running through it. Eugene Butler was forgotten, if not by his family, by the world at large. This all changed in July 1915, when Leo Verhoelen was digging a cellar under what had once been Eugene's house. He found six skeletons with crushed skulls buried underneath a foundation. Their heads had been split open by an axe. All were thought to be adult men, with the exception of one which seemed to be a young boy or girl. They were dropped through an opening in the floor. The only thing left were the bones. Every possible clue to their identity had been destroyed. Authorities believed these were persons that Butler had employed as farmhands during the summer, or the remains of two housekeepers once employed by Butler and their children. It was suspected the victims were transients, which was why they were not missed. The commentary among the townspeople was that Butler was really insane for many years before his commitment. Once the bones were examined, it was found five of them had been killed at the same time. They were a man, a woman, and three children. At a later date, one man was killed. The bodies of the family were buried in a single hole, and the other victim in a spot about 10 feet away from them. Butler had broken the legs of two of the victims in order to get them under the foundation of the house. The dirt around the skeletons was carefully examined for a trace of buttons, shoes, or any type of belonging, but nothing was found, indicating he buried them naked. The skull of the lone man, which was the most recent, indicated he had a crooked nose. It also appeared he used the same sharp instrument in killing the family. Each had a hole in the left side of the skull. None of the neighbors could recall any family disappearing in the area, and during the years he occupied the farm, he lived there by himself. He spoke little about his family history and had no intimate friends. The investigation never made mention of who had lived at the farmhouse before Butler. The structure was only 20 years old. Within a short time of the discovery, the state attorney's office received the following letter. Quote, I have been requested to make inquiry concerning one John Urbanski, who disappeared near Niagara, North Dakota in 1902. The last heard from him was a letter received by his brother stating he was working for a bachelor near Niagara, North Dakota. The postmark showed that the letter had been mailed at Larimore. John Urbanski was a young man about 5'7" in height, weight 145 pounds, light hair, almost white, and light complexion. He was sometimes called John Miller, and such may have been the name he was called when working near Niagara. This inquiry is occasioned by a brother's reading of the finding of some skeleton on a farm lately in that vicinity. The brother, Leo Urbanski, is a well-to-do farmer living near this town in Minnesota, and he has asked me to make this inquiry. End quote. It was noted that the bones were put in a small box and were being kept at the office of Sheriff Art Turner at Grand Forks. Unfortunately, many of those who had come to the farmhouse upon discovery of the remains had stolen some of the bones as souvenirs. Without any material clues or information from the farmers in the area, the investigation as to the identity of the victims ended. Most probably, they were interred in a pauper's grave in the Niagara Cemetery, which served the local community. However, the identity of those who were murdered by Eugene Butler sometime between 1900 and 1904 could be the individuals listed on the 1900 census shown as living with him. Who knows if the visit of the census taker was what spurred Butler to do away with them, since he wanted no record they had ever lived on his farm. They were Frank Edwin, 22, his sister Augusta Hawk, 37, Olive Hawk, 11, Eunice Hawk, 8, and Charles Hawk, 6. Frank was listed as head of the household, as was Eugene Butler. Augusta was the housekeeper. All of them listed New York as their birthplace except Augusta, who had come to the United States from Germany in 1880. All of these persons dropped from sight in later censuses or death records. They all correspond to the description of the bones found beneath the house. Did Eugene Butler hire them and then kill them soon after, before they were seen by the neighbors in the area? As to John Urbanski, he too was never heard from again. Was he the unnamed worker hired by a bachelor farmer in Niagara, North Dakota, and buried ignominiously under a farmhouse? Butler might have been a deeply disturbed man, but he understood the need to deceive and hide his crimes. Beware the insane. This is what's interesting. This guy looked like he was hallucinating and having a real, he was detached from reality, it seems, a good portion of the time. But what saved him was that he had his own farm. He was a recluse. He kept his distance. He didn't talk to anybody. And apparently, he moved out there in 1880. And this all happened like 24 years later. So it sounds like as he grew older, maybe he grew progressively worse. That kind of deal. But when nobody suspected, it's like, yeah, that peculiar eccentric guy out there that rides around in his horse at nightfall, little does anybody suspect that he's killing people and burying them under his house. And you know what? God knows if he killed anybody else and buried them out in his field. He had 400 acres. So yeah, that's why this was titled Eugene's Secret. All right, off to the next story. This is out of NDTV World. And it's titled, Nostradamus Predictions Resurface Amid UK Royal Family Health Concerns. Nostradamus, who correctly predicted the death of Queen Elizabeth II, the bombing of Hiroshima, and the rise of Napoleon, foretold difficult times for the monarchy in 2024. Ancient predictions by 15th century prophet Nostradamus are resurfacing amid current events involving Kate Middleton and King Charles' health issues. Nostradamus, who correctly predicted the death of Queen Elizabeth II, the bombing of Hiroshima, and the rise of Napoleon, foretold difficult times for the monarchy in 2024. Nostradamus, in his cryptic verse written centuries ago, predicted the potential abdication of a king and the rise of an unexpected successor, which now seems to echo the current situation involving King Charles and Prince Harry. The ancient prophet said the King of the Isles would be driven out by force, and will be replaced by one who will have no mark of a king. King Charles is suffering from cancer, which was discovered when he was undergoing treatment for an enlarged prostate. Royal observers speculated that King Charles might step down, either voluntarily or due to pressure related to his health. However, the question of how Prince Harry, who has shown little interest in royal duties, would end up as king remains unanswered. The predictions of a modern-day astronomer, Nostradamus Athos Salome, are also gaining attention in light of recent revelation about Kate Middleton's health concerns. The Princess of Wales recently revealed she is battling cancer after initially undergoing surgery for what was believed to be a non-cancerous issue. The 36-year-old Brazilian mystic, who claimed to have foreseen major events such as the onset of the coronavirus pandemic and Elon Musk's purchase of X, formerly Twitter, claimed that Princess Kate will be dealing with bone, knee, leg, and joint issues in the upcoming year, reported the Daily Star. The mystic, however, claimed that the prince's primary challenge lies in her future role as a royal. A user wrote on X, "The prophecy of Nostradamus is fulfilled. Kate Middleton has cancer. The British crown must give the throne to Prince Harry because William no longer meets the requirements to be King of England." I don't understand how that works. Why doesn't he? He's the oldest. Okay, well, all right. Very interesting. Such discussions show the ongoing fascination and speculation surrounding the future of the British monarchy in light of recent revelations. This is, when you look at this, and of course, this has gotten the spotlight because obviously they're part of the royal family in England. And the thing about Prince Charles is not that weird because, let's face it, he's older and apparently, you know, this is sometimes, it's not that unheard of or that, but it's unusual that especially her, which is a younger woman, both basically that live or exist in this common circumstances, part of the royal family, which, by the way, from what I understand, they supposedly No, oh, I'm sure they have the best health care as far as the knowledge of the doctors that are treating them and everything is like, what do these two people have in common that would have produced a cancer in their bodies in probably a short amount of time? Because I'm going to guess that they probably have annual physicals, and she herself has given birth to three children. What could have been the one thing that they both had in common that happened to them, or that they came into contact with within the last year? Well, I'll leave it up to you to fill in the blank on that one. So, until next time, this was a short eerie news, but I will be back with some more unusual news. Fear not. Till next time, take care.